Well, not beginning of a new year quite, end of an old year coming, yes, the calendar tells us. But thought what we would do, we would consider the great topics of Scripture. Look at some of the big events so we kind of have them focused, fastened, if you like, in our minds, giving us somewhere to steer by. Because the Bible's a big book, isn't it? The Bible's a big book. And you can open it here and think, what is happening there? You can open it somewhere else. What is happening there? And if you don't have, as it were, the big events somewhere in your thinking, you know, things like creation, fall, flood, Babel, calling of Abraham, events like that, as the place that you kind of structure other things around, well, we'll be sort of walking a little bit in the dark. Okay, so that's what we're going to be doing. So where do we begin? Creation? Well, we're going to have that next week, actually, God willing. No, we begin with God. We begin outside of time, and we begin outside of space. Because that's all part of our life, isn't it? These are things. The Bible begins, if you like, for us, with what follows on. But there was someone who was there before all of that followed on. Before you could have a creation, or you could have a fall, or you could have any of the other things that we're going to be looking at. That all happens in time and space, our time, isn't it? That all begins there. And we have to actually just stop and think, well, before any of that was, God was. In fact, saying was isn't really the right way to speak about it. In the beginning, wasn't it? God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. Well, that's like our beginning. That's where we started. We had a starting point. God had no starting point, none at all. And we have to sort of stop there, don't we? And we have to think, this is out of our league. This is out of our depth, isn't it? That God, well, he must be out of our depth. Otherwise, well, we'd be on the level with him. And if we understood everything he understood, or we could understand how God's sort of mode of existence is, well, we would be God, wouldn't we? And we're not. We never will be. And we're meant to just step back. Remember who we are. Remember that there are things that we just never will be able to understand. And that's the first beginning point, isn't it? The beginning point is there is no beginning point. Things that are created have a beginning point. They have a cause. We have a cause. We were caused because God decreed. He spoke, and it was so. It was done. But the God who did that speaking, and whatever we mean by our beginning, when time and space began for us, God was already there. God was already there. And as I say, it isn't even the right thing to say, was there. Because God doesn't live in our time and in our space. He lives in a different sphere, different kind of dimension. Because he hasn't got, other than when his son came, and that was a miracle, wasn't it, in the flesh. He's not in the flesh. He doesn't have a body that we have. He doesn't have the same frailties and lack of knowledge and lack of wisdom, lack of power that we have. He's never had any problem with any of those things because he's God. No beginning, no end. And so our time, and well, we kind of get older, don't we? And we come to an end of a year and we start a new year. That's our time. And fair enough, we have our dates and they all make sense to us. And we have birthdays and that all makes sense to us because we've lived on earth that number of years. That's our time. Sure. But not for God. He's already seen all our time and he's seen all the time that for us will still be the future time and on into eternity. Yes, eternity, because God has set eternity into our hearts, hasn't he? That is our design somewhere. And even the fall has not fully destroyed that. We believe, unless we really beat up our intellect, destroy our conscience and become atheists, we believe actually there's more. There's more than life. People get silly ideas about that, and that's because of the fall, but we believe we're going forward and there's something all out there. There is. There's eternity. Whether we're going to be raised to condemnation or whether we're going to be raised to life, that's our big issue. That's what we have to think about for ourselves here. God's already seen it all. He's already seen all of it. And for him, it's all as present to him, whatever time is for a God who has no beginning, no end, and is able to see it all, will what he wants to happen within all of that. Incredible stuff. That's where we find things like predestination and election. That's where we find ourselves out of our depth and dealing with a being who necessarily is always going to be beyond where we are. Yet that's our God. And he's not some figure out there and we can't really know anything about him and we daren't even try and think about him because he's too beyond us. That's what some religions would say. Oh, don't even try. Don't even think about it. We'll never, ever be able to relate to him. But the wonder is that we can. And we worship him, don't we? That's what we've been doing. That's what we're going to continue to do today. I hope when you go through the week, you have your own time of worship. And I hope you go through life in a worshipful spirit. So whatever you're doing at college, school, home, whatever you're learning, that you're doing it mindful of who he is and delighting yourself in him. Psalm tells us, doesn't it? Rejoice. Well, you wouldn't be able to rejoice in the being that was just big and immense and outside of time. And before we can even start thinking about creation, he's always been and has always been there and always will be there. And it's not as if he's having to make it up as we go along and think, what shall I do now? Oh, I haven't seen that coming. He seems all coming. And in that way, he's already prepared for that and he's already willed that. And he has got it, everything worked out, known to God from all eternity are all his works. And you can rely upon that truth, trust in that truth. And here's the grace and the mercy in that truth, that we know that he has grace and mercy, this immense being, that before we even start to think about big events in the Bible, that we have to begin with him, that he has compassion, he has mercy, that he is personal, because we have to say, don't we? He's always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That wasn't Father, and then, oh, we'll have a Son added on, and the Holy Spirit added on. That there was a time when the Son was not, or the Holy Spirit was not. Whatever we mean by the eternal generation of the Son, or the procession of the Holy Spirit, there's something mysterious in there. But it's not telling us that one's inferior to the other, or one derived somehow his existence from the other. I don't think it's saying that. It's saying that always been co-equal, co-eternal, always been. And so we have persons of the Godhead. We have relationship already in the Godhead before we were ever here. And so we can relate to him and he can relate to us. And he's always had that in view in eternity. Had that in view, that he'd have a people that he would relate to, and there'd be very feeble people, and they'd be sinful, and they'd be foolish, and they'd be ignorant, but he still purposed that he would relate to them, and would speak to them, and speak kindly and tenderly to them, that we don't deserve any of it, but that was in his mind, that he would do just that. And all the things we're going to be looking at, so these are big events. Keep these in mind as we go through. Keep these big events in mind. That it all stems from the fact that this great God who was there before any of us and who has no beginning, has no end, doesn't experience time like we do, doesn't experience space like we do, but he knows it all and he can account for it all, every molecule, everything you might want to name, that he has a relationship with fallen people and speaks to them kindly. And of course, we know he speaks to them very kindly when finally he sends his Son, the ultimate expression of that desire to have us to relate to him and to be bonded with him, his Son. So we'll get to him, won't we? Because that's obviously a big, big event out there that we have to keep in our minds when we're trying to think about who we are, where we are, what's going on around here. Well, it's him, isn't it? But we'll come to him in due course. But we're going to sing about him now. 128, now hymn books, Jesus, the name high over all, 128.